Okay, today's daf is Bambasra Daf Gimel. We are holding on the top of Daf Gimel Amar Aleph at Lishna Achrina. Yesterday we discussed the possibility that Hezek Ria Lo Shmei Hezek, and we had six different challenges to that possibility, and we deflected all of the challenges. Today we're going to have the first half of that discussion, but from the reverse angle. We're going to work with the possibility that Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek, based on a way to read our Mishnah that fits Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek, and we're going to discuss whether there are any challenges with assuming Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how can an agreement to divide a chatzer be binding. So we agreed to divide it. Now I change my mind. I decide I don't want to divide it. In what way, just because we agreed to divide something, can you now force me to build a wall, or can you now force me to even follow through with that division? Then the Gemara is going to define specifically the makeup of the four types of construction material that we described in the Mishnah. How do we get to six tvachim and five tvachim and four tvachim and three tvachim for the various different materials? And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss the wall that separated between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, both in the Bayis Rishon as well as in the Bayis Sheni, and how it was made up of different materials in the two Batei Mikdash. And the Gemara is going to talk about whether the measurements in our Mishnah, when we talk about the wall in our Mishnah being X number of Tvachim, does that include the coating that they would use to weather protect the wall as well, or is it only the base material that they would use for the wall? And then the Gemara is going to go into what seems like a different topic, but it's very much related, which is the iser to knock down a shul until another one has been built. That you can't destroy one until there's already a replacement. We're going to have two possibilities as to why that's true. Nafka Mina is between that two possibilities, but all of that is just an introduction to the story of Hordas building the Bayis Sheni, because the Gemara is going to question how we were allowed to advise him to destroy the Beis HaMikdash as it was before we had a replacement for it, because you would think it would have the same dinim as Beis HaKnesses. So let's see the Gemara starting from Dav Gimel Amud Aleph at the top line of the page. Lishna Achrina. Another possibility of how to understand our Mishnah. Amri La Savrua Mai Mechitza Plugta, that the Lishna Achrina says that the word Mechitza means Plugta. It means just a division. Excuse me, it doesn't mean a wall. So the Mishnah reads that Shutvim Shiratzu Lasos Mechitza. If Shutvim decide that they want to divide the Chatzer, then the halacha will be Bonin as Hakosel. Then they're forced to do so through a wall. How do I know that Mechitza means a division? Because the Pasuk says that when they're dividing up the spoils of the war with Midian, that it calls it a Mechitza. Even though it's not a wall, it's clearly just a division of spoils. V'kivan deratzu, so since they want to divide the Chatzer, Bonenes HaKosel Bal Karchan, they have no choice but to build a wall. Alma Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. So it would seem, therefore, that Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek, because as soon as they decide to divide, we say they have no choice but to build a wall, because they're not allowed to damage each other with Hezek Ria. Frek the Gemara Ve'ema Mai Mechitza Guda. But couldn't we possibly suggest, like we did yesterday, that the word Mechitza means a wall? It doesn't mean a division. Kiditnan, after all, the Mishnah says that we saw yesterday, Mechitza Sakerem Shenifritza. If you have a wall in a vineyard that gets destroyed, that gets opened up, Omerlo Gadar, and you tell the guy, rebuild it, Nifritza, and it again gets knocked down, Omerlo Gadar, and you tell him again, rebuild the breach, Nisyai Shemen of Logadra, and he decides he's not going to rebuild it, Harezei Kidesh HaLacha is, it turns all of the things that are growing on the other side of that wall into Kilei HaKerem, makes it Aser Ba'na, V'chayiv Ba'achriyusa, and the Baal HaKerem has to pay for it, so we see from that Mishnah that the definition of Mechitza sometimes actually does mean a wall. Now that's how you're going to read our Mishnah. V'taima deratzu. It sounds like, yes, when do they have to build a wall? When they want to build a wall. Meaning shutvin that are ratzu lasos mechitza, that want to build a wall, then bonanes hakosel b'emtza. Halo ratzu, but the implication would be that if they're not interested in building a wall, or one of them is not interested in building a wall, ein mechayvin oso, then you can't be mechayvin. One cannot force the other neighbor to build a wall. Al mehezek ria lav shmehezek. And that would be like we said yesterday, that Hezek Ria is Lav Shmei Hezek. In fact, the Gemara, Ihachi, if that were the case, Bonin Esa, if Mechitza really meant wall, and our Mishnah was saying, Shutvin Shiratzu, to build a wall, Bonin Esa, Hakosel, would that be the phrase you would use? Bonos Hakosel, build the wall? No, Bonos Somi Bayalei. We're already talking about a wall as soon as we mention the word Mechitza. So it should say Bonin Oso, not Bonos Hakosel. Elamai. So what? What's the preferred way to read the Mishnah? Plukta, that Mechitza means to divide. Ihachi Sharatsu Laasos Mechitza, Sharatsu Lachtos Mi Bayalei. A division is not something that you make, it's something that you do. We divide. We don't make a division. The Lashon of the Mishnah, Sharatsu Laasos Mechitza, does not sound like it means to divide. It sounds like it means that we're going to actually construct something. So the Gemara says, Kedamri and Shita Navid Plukta. No, sometimes people use such an expression that they say, let's go make a division, even though it's not the most accurate manner of speaking, but that's how people speak. It's Lashon B'nei Adam, and the Mishnayos are written in Lashon B'nei Adam. Says Gemara, V'i Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek, but if you're going to assume that Hezek Ria is actually considered Hezek, Ma'ir Yeratsu, why is it only if they want to do it? Afilu Lo Ratsu Nami, even if they don't want to do it, they should be bound to build a wall. So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Seinu B'Shein B'Din Chalukah. No, the Mishnah is talking about a chatzer that's not large enough to divide in a way that it's still going to be perfectly usable from both sides. So therefore, v'hu deratzu, they are only forced to divide it in the first place if they both are interested in dividing it. But if they're not both interested in dividing it, then one cannot force the other person to divide it. That's why we mention ratzu. But ein echinami, once they decide that they are dividing it, as far as how to divide it, a wall is absolutely necessary because of Hezek Ria. There is a machlokas haposkim, this idea that a chatzer that doesn't have a din chalukah, that's not large enough to divide, that neither neighbor can force the other one to divide, is that a din midaraisa, or is that only a takanas chachamim? The Rashba in the Chuvin Chelik Aleph, tuf kuf nun vav, writes that mikra din, if one of them wants to divide, he could just take his chelik and that's it. But since there's a tzad hefsid, since the chatzer is now going to lose some of its usage by dividing it, it's a takanas chachamim based on vasisa yashav atov, that it's not the right thing to do, to force a division of something that's going to lose some of its usage once it's divided. So that seems like it's a din midrabanan, that a chatzer shein badin chaluka, you cannot force your neighbor to divide. However, the Kirya Sefer in Hilchos Shchein and Perek Aleph writes that it's a din minat Torah, that if it doesn't have a din chaluka, that you're not allowed to force the neighbor to divide. But be that as it may, that's why we mentioned Ratzu in the Mishnah. Says Gemara, "My Kamashmulan." What's the Mishnah teaching us? That if there's no din chaluka, that if they want to, they divide it. Tanina, we already learned in the Mishnah about a chatzer shein b'din chaluka, that if both parties are interested and they both agree, then of course they're allowed to divide it. So what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? Says Gemara, now ime hasam, if we only had the other Mishnah, have amina filu pachs mikan b'mesivus b'alma. I would assume that when you're dealing with a chatzer shein badin chalukah that they're dividing, you can divide it with just a small barrier. Kamashim lan hacha, kosel. That's why it has to say in our Mishnah that once they are dividing it, it has to be with a kosel, it has to be with a legitimate wall. So, frekling marv lisni havalo lisni hach. So, why don't we only have our Mishnah and not have that later Mishnah that discusses chatzer shein badin chalukah? Because our Mishnah is talking about a chatzer shein badin chalukah, and they're able to, and the reason they're dividing it is because they both agreed. So what is the later Mishnah telling me that I don't already know? Answers Gemara, it is teaching me something. Sefer Tzrichalei, the Kisrei HaKodesh, Alf Bishishneim Rotzim Lo Yachloku. The Chiddush of the Sefer is that depending on what they're dividing, it could be that even if both parties agree, they're not allowed to divide it. What kind of thing can both parties agree and still they're not allowed to divide it? Kisvei HaKodesh. They decide they're going to take a Sefer Torah and they're going to divide it. How are they going to divide it? They're going to cut it in half. That you're not allowed to do, even if both parties agree. So that's the chiddush of the later Mishnah. But Eina Chinami, as far as a chatzer is concerned, there is no chiddush in the later Mishnah that we don't already have in our Mishnah. Everything we know from there, we already know in our Mishnah. Good, then we're going to skip the parentheses. Most of the achronim take it out. So right after the parentheses, five lines before the lines get wide. B'mayu kimto l'masnisin b'she'ein b'din chaluka. What was the ukimto we made in our Mishnah? Mishnah. What was the case of our Mishnah where the chatzar was so small that neither neighbor can force the other to neither shutav can force the other to divide it? They have to both agree that they want to divide it. Why does it matter that they both at one point agreed that it's a good idea to divide it? Can't they just back out of the agreement? Meaning, what's binding them to that agreement? It seems like our Mishnah is saying that once they decide they're going to divide it, one party can force the other to build a wall. He can't really force him. Can't the guy say, you know what, if that's what it takes, I'm going to have to build a wall, not interested, I changed my mind, I don't want to divide the chatzar anymore. So what's to prevent him from backing out? Says, what prevents him from backing out is that he does a maisa kinyan on that agreement. Since he did a kinyan chalipin on that agreement, so that makes it binding. So why does it matter that he did a maisa kinyan? That's a kinyan devarim. He's not being kona anything. He's being kona in agreement. You can't make a kinyan on an agreement. You need to make a kinyan on things. So says Mar Bishkanam Yadan Beruchos. They did a kinyan chalipin on the land that they are now each acquiring. Meaning, if I take the north side of this chatzar, you take the south side of the chatzar, the kinyan chalipin is not in the agreement. It's I'm making the kinyan chalipin that I will now be kona your chelek in the north side of the chatzar, and you will be kona my chelek in exchange in the south side of the chatzar. So now the chatzar is actually divided. Now we can force each other to build a wall. Ravashi Amar Ravashi says, no, you don't even have to say that it was a kinyan chalipin. Kigon shahalach zebetok shalavahach. They did a kinyan chazaka. How are you kona karka? Kesef shtar chazaka. Chazaka is nol gadar reparatz. They went and they built something. They knocked down a fence. They did something in the other side of the chatzar to actually be kona the chatzar. Now it seems from our Gemara that kanu miyada, that if you're going to divide a shutva, some sort of kinyan needs to be done to make the division binding. So Rabbi Elchanan just raises the question, Kovit Shurimos Yudches, that later on Daf Kuf Vavam Beis, the Gemara is going to make it sound like you don't need a kinyan for chalukas hashutfas, to divide up a shutfas, because the Gemara is going to say over there that Rabbi Yossi Omer ha'achim shecholkuf, brothers are dividing the father's estates, and so they do a goral to decide who gets which piece of land. One of them gets his goral, and now it becomes clear who's going to get what. So that's it, the kinyan is done. So it sounds like you don't need an actual maisa kinyan. All you're doing is a goral, and the goral itself determines who ends up with everything. So ask Rav Elchanan, how could our Gemara say that you need a maisa kinyan? It's against that Gemara. So Rav Elchanan points out that the two Gemaras are really dependent on the notion of yesh breira or ein breira. How do we understand the Yerusha that a father leaves and then the brothers divide it up? Do we understand that when they divided up, it's Huvra Adavra Lamafreya, that was their Yerusha the entire time? That if this brother gets this piece of land, it's not that he's now acquiring it from his brother. Huvra Adavra Lamafreya, that it was the entire time. If that's the case, you don't need a real kinyan. You just need to be Mevarer, what he was Kona through the Yerusha. But if you assume that we don't rely on Breira, that ain't Breira, then you're going to assume that he needs to make an actual kinyan in order to acquire his piece of land, because nothing is going to work retroactively, so he's going to need a real kinyan. So he suggests, Rav Elchanan suggests, that it's a machlokas between these two sugyas, whether yesh breira or ein breira. So says the Gemara further now. Gevil avni. Now the Gemara is going to identify the different types of bricks that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So we said makom shnagu livnos. If the minig is to build with gevil, with gazis, with levain, all the different types of bricks. So gevil avni de lo mishafya. The reason gevil is six tfachim wide is because it's stone that hasn't been smoothed down, so the edges stick out to add an extra tefach. Gazis, avni de mishafya. Gazis is the same type of stone, but it's actually been smoothed down a little bit so that it's only five tefachim wide. Dichsiv, kol eila avanim yukaros, kemidos gazis. The raya is from the pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech building the Beis HaMikdash. It says, kol eila avanim yukaros, kemidos gazis, migororos b'megera is the continuation of the pasuk. Mibayis u'michutz, u'mimasad adatfachos, michutz adachatzar gedola. That you scrape it down. So you see, gazis is that which is already scraped down. Kfisin archi, levenin livni. Kfisin are half bricks, Levenim are whole bricks. Kfisin are four tvachim, levenim are three tvachim. The Gemara is going to explain, how could a half brick be larger than a whole brick? It's the same type of brick. It's when we say half bricks, we mean you cut it in half, and then you attach the two halves with the tefach of cement in between them. So if the whole brick is three tvachim, and then you cut it into two halves that are 1.5 tvachim each, and you attach those two halves with one tefach of cement, it's 1.5 plus one tefach of cement plus the other 1.5, that's how you get four tvachim. How do we know that these definitions are correct? How do you know that gevil is untrimmed stone, and that's why it's one tefach larger than gazis? Dilma palga de gazis, who maybe gevil is a gazis cut in half. Why is it a tefach larger? And the extra tefach is for the cement that attaches the two halves. Just like, after all, we say that's what building materials 3 and 4 in the Mishnah are. That's what the difference is between kfisin and livni, is that kfisin is really broken in half livni that are attached by a tefach of cement. So why can't we say that building materials 1 and 2 share the same relationship? So he says, well, how do you even know that 3 and 4, that kfisin and livni, have that relationship? Kfisin archi minolin. How do you know that kfisin are half bricks? El Gemar Gemirla, you have a tradition that that's the case. Well, Gvil Nami, Avni de la Meshafya, Gemar Gemirla. Guess what? The idea that Gvil is untrimmed stone is also a tradition that we know. We have accepted as in the Torah Shebal Peh that that's what it means. Ikeda Amri, Amr le Ravacha Breda Ravavia le Ravashi. Some say that the challenge Ravacha Breda Ravavia had Ravashi was as follows. Mimai di dai kfisin archi ninhu, vaitav chisirta le beni urvi. How do you know kfisin means a half brick and the extra tefach is for the cement in between? Tilma mai kfisin avdi lo mashafian, vaitav chisirta le morshu de karnas. So maybe the kfisin is levenim that are untrimmed, and that's why it's a tefach. Kidakarmin, and after all, isn't that the difference between gvil and gazis? Gvil avdi lo mashafian. Gazis avni de mishafian, vaitav chesed morsha de karnisa. Isn't gvil just gazis that hasn't been trimmed? So he said back to Multemech, gvil avni de lo mishafian minolan. How do you know that gvil is untrimmed gazis? El gemar gemirila. You know it because it's a tradition. So hachanami gemar gemirila over here also. You know it simply because it's a tradition. That's how you know what the difference is between kfisin and levenim. Amar Rabbi Shmami Na, what we do see from the Mishnah though is kol beni urvi tefach, that whenever you're attaching two halves of a brick with cement, it should be one tefach of cement. But hani mili betina avul beriksa b'itfei. That's if it's pure cement. But if mixed into the cement, there's some rocks or sand, so it's not as sticky, it's not as binding of a substance, you're going to need more than one tefach. V'ikadam riyadah say no, hani mili beriksa. The Mishnah's assuming you're using the less sticky type of cement. Aval betina lo baikule hai. But if you're using the strongest type of cement, you don't even need a tefach. You can get away with less than a tefach. So now, says the Gemara, lemeimra de begazis, the kol dalet amos gova. Do you mean to tell me that when you're dealing with gazis, that kol dalet amos gova, for each 4 amos of height, iavi pusya chamisha koi ilo lo koi, that if it has a width of 5 tefachim at its base, then it could support 4 tefachim of height? But if it doesn't have a width of 5 tvachim at its base, it can't support 4 tvachim of height? Meaning, why are we assuming that they would make gazis 5 tvachim wide? Obviously, they made it 5 tvachim wide because a typical mechitza was 4 amos high, and in order to have a stable mechitza that's 4 amos high, you need 5 tvachim of width at the bottom. So, frak the Gemara, there's one problem with that. Va'amatraxin, davi gavot losin amasa. The amatraxin in the base of Migdash that's separated between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the first base of Migdash was 30 amos high. So if you do that ratio, for every 4 amos, you need 5 tefachim. 30 amos high, you're going to need a lot of tefachim. You're going to need 37 tefachim or something. So, but v'lava pusya l'shis. You know how many tefachim was? It was 6 tefachim wide. That's why it's called amma traksin. It was 1 amma. An amma is 6 tefachim. So how's that possible? How does that ratio work out? For 4 amos high, you have 5 tefachim. And for 30 amos high, you have 6 tefachim? So pushchi v'kam, kiven di ika, and it still stood even though it was only 6 tvachim. So what's going on? Answer Gemara, Kai. That one extra tefach adds a lot more stability. You need five tachim to make it four amos high, but once you're at such a width, you don't need to add based on that ratio. Adding one more tefach can add a whole lot more stability to the wall, which is a great chiddush. Ubimikdashani, my time alav and amatraxin. Why is it in the second base of Mikdash they didn't have a wall of amatraxin? They had only curtains. They had only parochas. So it says Mark, ki kai betlasin kai tfei lo kai. The Mikdash Sheni was taller than the Mikdash Rishon. So the yes, a six tefach wide base can support a 30 amah high wall, but it cannot support a 40 amah high wall. And that's what they would have needed in the Mikdash Sheni. So they used curtains because curtains can obviously work even if it's 40 amos high. Uminalan dava gavoa tfei. How do I know the second base of Mikdash was taller than the first base of Mikdash? The pasuk says explicitly. The Navi tells us in Chagai. Gadol yeh kavod habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon, that the kavod of the second bayis is greater than the first bayis. So what does that mean, greater than? Ravu Shmuel, machlokas Ravu Shmuel, v'amila Rabbi Yochanan Blazer, some say it was machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Blazer, chadam or bebinyin, one possibility is that it was larger, it was taller, like we're saying, the chadam or bishanim. The other one says, no, you know what it means that the second bayis of Mikdash was gadol from the rishon? It means in the number of years that it stood, 410 years, to 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash. V'isalaha. And they're both true. It was taller and it lasted for a longer period of time. The Maral is a little bothered that the Mikdash Rishon had the Shechina, the Urim V'tumim, the Aron, the Luchos. The Mikdash Sheni didn't have any of this. And what does the Navi say? Gadol yeh kavod habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon. The kavod of the bayis is going to be greater in the second Beis HaMikdash than the first. What? Because it's 10 amos taller? That's what makes it greater? It lasts 10 years longer? It's greater? It doesn't have all the daily miracles and everything that happened in the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Maral suggests that there's a certain type of Kedusha Elyona that we can't connect to because it's too holy, it's too beyond us to be able to connect to. So while the first Beis HaMikdash had this Kedusha Elyona, our ability to connect to it was lacking. But when the Kedusha is muted a little bit, then we're able to connect to it much better. So it is, as far as Nivraim are concerned, as far as people down here are concerned, it's a greater kavod to have the second Beis HaMikdash because we're able to shteltzu to that Kedusha a little bit more. Also, the Rashba writes in the Tshuva Chelek Daled Siman Kuf Pei Zayin that he had a vikuach with non-Jews who wanted to attack our messianic hopes and vision, and they said it's beferish in your own Navi that there's not going to be a third base of Mikdash. How does it refer to the second base of Mikdash? Habayis ha achron. Achron means last. So how can you say that there's going to be a third base of Mikdash? So the Rashba says that the answer is very simple. The Pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, Yaakov is going to meet up with Esav. What does he do? Vayosem es ha-shvachos v'sialdeha and Rishona. First puts the shvachos in their children. Vesleya v'yaldeha achronim. Leah and her children achronim. And who's behind the achronim? Ves Rachel ves Yosef achronim. Rachel and Yosef behind Leah and her children. Wait, I thought Leah and her children were achronim. Achronim means last. No, achronim doesn't mean last. It means after. So the Bayis Sheni is after the Bayis Rishon. It doesn't mean that it's actually last. So the Kamarim, the Goyim that were debating him said, yeah, that's by Dibor Bnei Adam. Where do you find a Nevuas HaNavi that's Yodea, the Emes, that knows the future, that's going to use the term Achron to mean after, not to mean last? So he says, it's last week's Parsha. I don't know when he was talking, but for us, it's last week's Parsha. Parsha Shemos. What happens? Moshe Rabbeinu is discussing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him how to convince the people that he indeed is a Shliach of Hashem. V'haya im lo yaminu l'cha v'lo yishmu l'cha lo os harishon. If they don't listen to the first os, v'aminu l'cha lo os ha'achron. They'll listen to the achron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And if they don't listen to both of those os, so then you take me, Mimear, and you do another os. Wait, the second one was called Achron. What do you mean another os? No, you see that Achron means after. Achron doesn't mean last. Some Sofer writes that the reason it's called Achron, the Bayis Sheni is called Achron, is because the Bayis Rishon had the Shechina, the Luchos, that was the Iker, and the actual structure was Tafel to what was really going on inside, which was the Bayis Sheni. Sheni didn't have the Shechina, the Luchos, the Aron, and all that stuff. So the bias was the Iker. As far as that type of building is concerned, it's the Achron. The next Beis HaMikdash is not going to be the Iker being the structure. It's going to be more like the first Beis HaMikdash, where the Iker is the Ashras HaShechina, and the bias is Tafel to the Iker. It's just addressing around the Iker itself. Okay. Says the Gemara, V'na'avdu tlasin amin bibinyin. So why in the second Beis HaMikdash couldn't they build 30 amos of actual brick, of wall, v'idach na'avid parochas, and make the last 10 amos be only curtains? So meaning, once we've determined that in the first Beis HaMikdash they were able to build 30 tvachim of wall, because 6 tvachim of width can support 30 tvachim of height, so in the second Beis HaMikdash, instead of making the whole thing parochas, I understand you can't make a 40 amma high wall, but make 30 amos of it wall, and then make the last 10 amos parochas. So kikai tlasna masa nami agav tikra maziva avakai below tikra maziva la avakai. So Gemara answers, no, why do you think a 30 amma wall was able to be supported by only 6 tvachim of width? It's because there was a ceiling resting on the wall that lends support to it, that makes it a sturdier wall. But if you were to just have a wall that's loose at the top, 30 amos of height with only 6 tvachim of width would not work. It would not be structurally stable. So says Gemara, okay, so don't do 30 amos of height. But at least, v'lavid mada efshar b'binyin, v'lavid idach parochas. At least, whatever height you can get, it's going to be 20 amos, 15 amos, whatever it is. Get whatever you can with building structure, with actual brick, and then on top of that, however much space is left, you'll do parochas. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, no, gemiri. Ikula b'binyin, ikula b'parochas. We have a tradition that it's got to be all or nothing. It's either got to be all binyan or all parochas, but that you cannot divide one from you cannot have half. You can't have part of it being binyan and part of it being parochas. From the lashon of the Gemara, it sounds like in the Bayis Rishon it was pure binyan, meaning there was no parochas at all. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Beis HaBechira, Halacha Beis, writes in Mikdash Rishon lo haisa sham ela parochas achas bilvad, that they only had one parochas in the Mikdash Rishon. Vivdila parochas lachem bein hakodesh bein hakodesh hakadashim, the pasuk says in Shmos Chavav. So you see that it's one parochas. Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, that was about the Mishkan, that wasn't about the Beis HaMikdash. So how do you know? From our Gemara, it doesn't sound like there was a parochas. It sounds like there was no parochas at all. So the Achronim say that you have to say that there was a parochas, because it says Beferish in Divrei Yamim, when it Divrei Yam Beis, when it describes Binyan Shlomo, Per Gimel pasuk Yudalit Vayasa. A parochas, tchelas vargaman, the materials that the parochas was made out of, that Shlomo HaMelech was making. So there must have been some parochas. So that's what you have to say, that there was parochas covering the doorways of the wall that was made out of binyan. There was doorways in that wall, so that maybe there was parochas covering the doorways of that wall. There's no tshuva Ramesha has about whether a parochas of Naran Kodesh, whether it's a violation of erasing on Shabbos, if there are words across a split parochas, you have a parochas sometimes splits down the middle when you open it, and sometimes there are words that go across it, whether that's a problem on Shabbos. Rav Moshe writes, almost as an afterthought at the end of the tshuva, that this is all a discussion in Hilchos Shabbos, but I don't know why you would have a split parochas to begin with. Minhag Yisrael is you always have one parochas, you don't have two parochas. So Rav Shechter mentioned, what do you mean? In Bayis Sheni they had two parochas. That was the parochas that they had was an amma. How is it an amma? The parochas itself is not an amma thick. No, in between. That's where the Kohen Gadol would walk, in between the two parochas to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that was an amma between them. But in the Bayis Rishon, it was only one parochas. So frankly, Gemara, ikulu bebinyan mimig. How do we not frankly, Gemara? Gemara explains. Ikulu bebinyan mimigdash. Where do we find that the divider between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was made entirely out of binyan? That's in the Mikdash Rishon. Ikulu beparochas mimishkan. Where do we find that it's made entirely out of parochas? That was in the Mishkan. Ibayilahu. So the Gemara raises a question with regard to the thickness of the walls that we describe in our Mishnah. Hain v'sidan, adumah hain below sidan. When we say gvil, gaz, 6 tvachim, 5 tvachim, do we mean to say that includes the weather protective coating that we put on top of it? Or is that not including the coating we put on top of it? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mistavra, hain v'sidan. Most mistaver that it includes the coating on top of it. Yisal g'day d'chein below sidan, listen to Shiurei. Because if we're mentioning the width that the materials would have before you weather protect it, well, why doesn't it mention the actual width in the Mishnah itself? Meaning if it's six tvachim, and then when you weather protect it, it gets a little wider, so why are we only talking about six tvachim, and each person only giving up three tvachim of their chatzer? Each person ends up giving up more than that. It must be that the measurements we're giving are all-inclusive. Says Gemara, that's not a raya. Maybe when the Mishnah is giving the measurements, it's without the weather protective coating. The reason we don't mention it in the Mishnah is because it's so minuscule, it's less than a tefach, so it doesn't warrant mention. It's not even considered that you're really giving anything up in your chatzer. But wait, by Levenim it says each guy gives up one and a half tvachim. So you see that we do talk in fractions of tvachim. We don't just say, oh, fractions are insignificant. So hasam chazi l'sarufe. No, over there it's two halves, and two halves make a whole, so that's why we talk in half tvachim. But when you're talking about the weather protective coating, it's a fraction that doesn't equal up a whole to a whole tefach. Tashma Gemara says we'll bring a raya as to whether our measurements include the coating or not. Hakora sha'amru. When you talk about putting a beam over a mavoi in order to be allowed to carry in that mavoi on Shabbos, how wide does that beam have to be? Rechava kedei lekabel ariach. It has to be wide enough that an ariach brick could fit on it. How big is an ariach brick? V'ariach chatzi levena shel gimel tfachim. An ariach is 1.5 tfachim wide. So don't you see over there, we're not talking about a brick that's being weather coated because it's not a wall or anything. We're just talking about how wide the beam has to be. That has to be wide enough to theoretically hold a brick and just a raw brick. So you see that it's called and use the exact measurement that we have in our Mishnah. So obviously the measurements in our Mishnah are of the raw materials without having the coating on it. Says Gemara, no, hasam berav ravta. Over there, it's talking about a very large brick, but normally the bricks are a little bit smaller and would only reach these sizes with the coating on it. Dekanami, and the raya that we're talking about a larger brick over there is the ketani shel shlosha tvachim. It says that an ariach is half of a levena of shlosha tvachim. Why not just say half of a levena? Mechlal di ikazutra shmamina. The implication is that a levena of shlosha tvachim, but most levenim are not three tvachim, are a little bit less than that, and it's only with the sid, with the coating around them, that they would even become three tvachim. So therefore, maybe our Mishnah is not talking about the raw brick. It's talking about the full size of the wall once you coat it as well. Period. Amar Rav Chista. Now the Gemara is going to mention a halacha that seems irrelevant. But since we mentioned Gadol Kavod Abayis Hasheni Ha'achron Min Arishon, we discussed the second base of Mikdash and its structure, so we're going to talk about Hordas' upgrades to the second base of Mikdash. As an introduction to Hordas' upgrades to the second base of Mikdash, we're going to mention this halacha about generally taking an existing shul and destroying it in order to upgrade, in order to build a new shul. Amar Rav Chista, a person is not allowed to destroy a shul unless he has another shul in its place, ready to take its place. There are tshuvas in the Achronim, the Menchas Yitzchak, and others about whether the same is true of other communal structures. I mean, what about a yeshiva? What about a mikveh? Can you destroy a mikveh before you make another mikveh? Menachas Yitzchak was a fascinating case. They said to him, in this community, we think that we're not going to be able to raise funds for a mikveh unless the current mikveh is out of commission. Meaning we're not going to raise enough to be able to finish the job unless the current one is out of commission. Then people will be motivated to donate to the cause. But otherwise, they're afraid. So Menachas Yitzchak says, how could you say such things about Klal Yisrael? They're going to be motivated anyway. They're going to give to the cause anyway. So he says, but fundamentally, he says, you just can't do that. You can't take away a mikveh. He says, kal v'chomer, a mikveh takes precedence over Beis HaKnesses. So if a community doesn't have either one, so a mikveh would take precedence over Beis HaKnesses. So how could you do that? How could you shut down a mikveh? You're not even allowed to shut down a shul unless you have another one to take its place. So what's the reason that you're not allowed to destroy a shul until you have another one to take its place? Some say it's because of the concern that you're going to be negligent in rebuilding it. Some say that no, the concern is you need a place to daven. And you're simply not going to have a place to daven unless you rebuild the shul. So my benayu, what's the nafkamina between the two possibilities, whether it's mishum pshiusa or whether it's mishum tsluyei? Ika benayu di ika that there is another Beis HaKnesses that you could daven in. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. How does that work as a nafkamina? Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that if you say that it's Mishum Tzuluye, so there is another Beis HaKnesses. So you could daven, say then there's no concern over here because there's somewhere else to go. But if you say the concern is that you can be Poshea and you're not going to rebuild the shul, so then that would still apply. That there's still a concern that you're not going to rebuild the shul, even if you have another place to daven adrab, maybe that concern will be even greater, that you can be more poshea because you don't feel the stress of not having a place to daven. Other Rishonim view it in the opposite way, that when there's another Beis HaKnesses, we're not worried about the Pshia, because so what? So you'll delay a little bit. It won't be the end of the world. You have where to daven. But if the concern is that you're not going to have where to daven, so the fact that you have somewhere temporary to go, yeah, but that's not a makom kavua l'tfila. A person is supposed to have a makom kavua l'tfila. He's supposed to have a place that he has a sense of kavius. Okay, Mareim Marzutra Sasri Banabei Kaita Besitva. Mareim Marzutra built a summer shul during the wintertime, Banabei Sitva Bekaita, and they built a winter shul during the summertime, meaning they had different shuls for the different seasons. That they had a shul during the summertime that was more airy, more windows, and a shul during the wintertime that protected them from the elements. Amle Ravin Ravashi, Gavul Zuzi Machti Mai. What if you already collected the money for the new building, so it's all in the account? Can you then knock down the existing shul in order to rebuild the other shul? Meaning you don't have to worry that they're not going to rebuild it. All the money's collected. The concern is that maybe a Pidyon Shvuyim case is going to come up and they're going to use all that money for Pidyon Shvuyim and they're still not going to build the shul. That's our girsa. The Yad Rama and the Nemuka Yosef have a different girsa. Dilma Misrami Milsa de Mitzvah is their girsa. Not just Pidyon Shvuyim. The Rambam writes that you're allowed to use money designated for Beis HaKnesses for the sake of a Dvar Mitzvah. The fact that he uses that phrase, Dvar Mitzvah, sounds like he either had that girsa or he at least understood that Pidyon Shvuyim is only an example. But really, any Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to adjust, take the money that was designated for the shul. Problem is, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Kufnun Gimel Sif Hei, that if you collect money to build the shul and you want to use it for something else, Ein mishan in mikdusha kal l'kdusha chamura. You're not allowed to reallocate that money for something that's on a lower level of kedusha. So how could you say that you're allowed to take the money that was designated for shul and use it for pidyon shvuyim or for any other mitzvah? So Magen Avraham suggests that you have to say that it's al yidei shiva tuva yair b'maimen anshei yair. That when you have the official communal the board of the community that has the ability to reallocate the money, so with their askama, then you're allowed to do it. So says Gemara, Shrigi Livni Vahadri Hudri Machti Kshuri Mai. What if you not only have the money in the bank, but you actually have all the building materials set up? Can you then knock down the shul? Amle Zimdin de Mishramidu Pidyon Shvuyim Mizavni Vihavilu. We're still concerned that Pidyon Shvuyim is going to come up. You're going to sell all these building materials, and then you're going to use it for Pidyon Shvuyim. Iachi Afilu Banunami. Then even if you already built the shul, you should still be concerned. Amle says, no, if you built the shul, Dirasi Din Shilo Mizavni. People don't sell their homes. You don't sell your house for a case of a dvar mitzvah that comes up, right? That's the question in Hilchas Tzedakah. If you have to give an ani, de machzor sheyachzolo, and people come to your door, and it's pikuach nefesh, and do you have to sell your house to save these lives? So one of the understandings is that it's not a normal thing to do, to sell your house in order to promote the dvar mitzvah. And a Beis HaKnesses is like selling your house once it's already Beis HaKnesses. V'la'amran, this whole halacha, though, of not destroying it, is el delo chazi. If there are no cracks in the building, so you don't have to concern that the whole building is going to erode. Avul chazi batiyua sasri ubani. But if you do see that there are cracks in the building and that the whole building is eroding, then you're allowed to destroy it and rebuild. Ki ad Ravashi chazi batiyua b'knishta demasa mechasya. Just like the story happened with Ravashi, sasri va'ayilu pori lasam. So he knocked down the shul and he brought his bed there. V'lo afka adematin le'shvichi, and he wouldn't leave it. He wouldn't take his bed out until they finished even building, even putting up the gutters of the new building. You wanted to make sure that it was completely done. The Rishonim, of course, are bothered. How is he allowed to sleep in a shul? So that's a question. How is Bava Ben Buta allowed to give Hordas the idea to destroy the Beis HaMikdash to rebuild it? I thought you're not allowed to do it unless you have another Beis HaKnesses. One answer is that he saw that there were cracks in the building, so he was allowed to do it. That when a melech commits to do something, there's no concern that he's not going to do it. Damar Shmuel, Yamar Malchusa Akar Nature, Akar Ture, Velo Hadrebe. And because Shmuel says that if a melech says that you should uproot a mountain, he's going to uproot a mountain and he's not going to back out. The Ein Yaakov asks the obvious question, what kind of question is this? There's nowhere else that you can build another shul when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash. Right, you should build another Beis HaMikdash somewhere else and then knock that over here. It's obviously the only choice. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into the story of Hordas' rise to power. Okay.